from the ESPN 97.5 studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The other thing that I've heard a lot of people saying was, you can't leave all these guys on base, which is true. That said, go back and look at the contact the Astros were making with two outs with men in scoring position. They weren't, you know, flailing at nonsense and popping things up. They were hitting the ball hard. It just didn't go their way. Like, it's
yes, I mean, Springer swinging at that 3-0, got the pitch he wanted, and drives the ball. It just happened to hang up just long enough for Soto to get it.
Yeah, sometimes the baseball gods just don't let the ball hit the ground. That's baseball, man. That's just the way it goes.
I can't imagine the Texans would have had any capital to trade.
No. I mean, would Le'Veon Bell have helped this team tremendously? Yes. But I think if the Texans wanted him, they would have tried to go after him in free agency or gone after him harder in free agency. And, yeah, there's just nothing. The cupboards are kind of bare as far as trade capital goes.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN. Is your number? 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel and put your comments on there, you can do that as well. And if you missed the first 2 hours, pretty much all Astros. We did work in a couple of little things. But for the most part, Astros.
As you Los Stros.
So we will mix things up a little bit here because we'll have Brad Powers and maybe more here in a couple of minutes. We'll see. And talk a little college football betting, maybe some NFL. We'll just have to see how that plays out.
See if there's enough time.
Yeah, yeah. And then we're going to get our butts on an airplane here in a couple hours.
Get our London on.
Yeah. And we will not be doing shows Monday, tomorrow or Monday.
We wanted to. It's just not.
Yeah,
it's not really feasible.
It's
unfortunately.
I mean, we were going to try to do it, but the odds of actually pulling it off were pretty.
They were slim.
Yeah, and so it was better for us to not try to carry a bunch of equipment over there and not be able to do a show. All right, so joining us now from pregame.com, lead college football and college basketball analyst Brad Powers, and lead everything. RJ Bell.
We like to call him the CEO.
Yeah, RJ Bell. Friends. And you can follow Brad on Twitter at BradPower7. You can follow RJ at RJ in Vegas. So what I would do if I was doing and it now he's whispering.
I am here. It's good to listen to you guys.
Okay. Yeah. I heard RJ whispering and I'm like, oh, what?
It sounds nefarious. I'll be honest.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, I bet. Well, Brad, man, this was a rough week for a lot of people betting college football. But I think the pick that you gave out last week for us, you were the only one last Friday who hit your pick. You had Washington State.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you had Washington State. And yeah, so you were a winner somewhere, I tell you. I saw on Twitter you're getting a lot of grief, but you won money for our people, and that's what really matters.
Hey, I got grief last year, and I finished fourth in a Golden Nugget contest, so it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
You're always going to get grief, my friend, always. Yeah. Well, let's try to burn through some of these college games real quick, and I think maybe the game that's got the most impact this week is Georgia-Florida, the world's largest cocktail party, and that number is up to a 6 now, which now it's kind of getting to a place where I'm not super comfortable with it. I liked Georgia at the lighter number.
Really?
Yeah. Right. And now I'm sort of, especially if it gets to 7, I might have to lean Florida because I think this is just a rock fight game. I don't think anybody's going to get much margin here. I played the under when it was back at 47, and obviously the bottom's fallen out of that. So what do you think of the game? How do you see it playing out?
I'm on the Florida side here, and it's more of a play against Georgia because I got a question. I mean, we're at Halloween now, and I'm really not sure how good Georgia is. I mean, their marquee win is supposed to be the Notre Dame game. Well, that doesn't look so good now after what Michigan did to Notre Dame last weekend. What's the other big win that they got? I don't see it, and this is a team that struggled even after the South Carolina debacle. I know it was played in some rain, but I mean, when you only throw for 35 yards against Kentucky, that's nothing to go home about. I'm on the Gators, who get 3 key starters back here, and I know a little bit more about Florida because they've been in 2 highly competitive games against teams that are in the top 10, Auburn and LSU. Gators plus six for me.
All right. I'm not going to argue with you. Like I said, the number's out where I don't want anything to do with it anymore. But do you agree with it being a sort of a grinding, low-scoring game?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, offensively, Jake Fromm just doesn't have the weapons that he's had in the past, particularly on the outside for Georgia. And then, you know, Kyle Trask is still a guy that's only started, what, four or five games since his high school career.
Yeah.
And he was a backup most of his high school career. So just still a relatively inexperienced starter at Florida as well.
Are you done, RJ?
RJ Bell from pregame.com, Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't know that was on there.
That's yes. All right. We heard you whispering your pizza order earlier, and we didn't know if.
Well, you know something? What's going on is it's what every day is here, baby. From radio spot to the next thing to the next thing. But you know who's on that list? Houston.
Always.
Houston ESPN. With AJ, what's your last name, AJ? AJ Hoffman.
Thank you.
No, I knew. Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R.
You even know how to spell Fred's name, man. Well, you know we're in.
Well, we did a show together for
a while.
Yeah, we did.
You've seen Fred's resume. It's the first line.
RJ, we were just discussing last Friday when we all made our picks. You know who the only person who got their pick right was? Brad Powers.
I'm guessing me.
Not you.
That was... If you thought the Nationals were a long shot, how about Brad Powers being the only one to win a best bet?
Brad Powers, the only one. Yeah.
That to me is perfection then.
Yeah, it was.
That means I'm still just as much in front because Brad's so far back, it doesn't matter.
That's true. I saw I saw you had a rough week on the Super Contest.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up first. You know what's funny, though? They don't seem to bring that up first when it's 4-1.
No, that's not true. That's not true. But, I mean, you're owning it on Twitter, so I think there's something to be said for it. And, obviously, the fact you can have a 1-4 week and you're still, I would say, competitive. You guys are, what, 55-something percent at this point?
Yeah.
So,
hey, listen.
You're going to have those.
I mean, this is what we've spent a goofy amount of time, but it was necessary coming into the season. Because if all you know, let's say you just started listening to us on the pod last year, and all you saw 67%, five games a week. That feels normal, and it's not normal. No, here's the way to explain it, and it's just going to take 30 seconds.
All right.
A couple of years ago, Fezzik was 5 years out. The fifth year back in the Super Contest would have been the last time or the first time he won it. So it was like, won it, year. So 5 years at that point. And I thought this is a great time to accentuate he won twice. A lot of people don't know it. I don't say it often. And what? Everyone's laughing. Oh, wow. And we had a guy in who's a fan of the pod that does some work. And he goes, I think you say that three times a show. I go, you know it, don't you? Mm. It's like, I do. So at the time, I thought, okay. And then what we did, we went back and we saw his record over those years was 56.8%. And I thought, okay, this is perfect. I said, we can say, we'll bet anybody up to 100,000. And this was a couple years ago, up to 100 dimes. Do you beat this year 56.8%? The theory is Fezzik did it for 5 years. You only got to do it for one. We'll take the, you know, bets at even money. Now, at the time I was playing a 2-5-10 on the button game, and it was playing high at the Suncoast every week. And Alan Boston was playing there, and mostly other professionals from the Bellagio. They were coming there, and it was Monday Night Football and that. I told everyone, hey, open invite, 100 dimes. Obviously, at that point, we talked about it on local radio a bunch, too, here in Vegas. Not a single person took us up on it. Now, this is literally Billy Walters type stuff. If Billy thought he had a positive EV, you don't think he's going to put up 100? So the point I'm saying is nobody on the planet has a better than 50% chance picking five side games a week. And remember, this is also with stale lines, which can be, right, you know, is often an advantage.
Yep.
No one would take us up on it. So to me, if you wonder about, RJ and that 55%, that is proof positive.
Well, I think 55% is strong, you know, especially because you don't always want to pick five games in a given week.
And Lordy you, be.
You know, last week was a good example of, I'm sure you did, and this week might be one too, of where you're not super excited to pick five games out of that hat.
Yeah, I mean, that fifth game, that fourth game, I mean, most NFL handicappers that are just betting sides, now you can bet derivatives, all first quarters, just sides. I'd say the average for a serious NFL batter is less than three for sure in a week.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to do, but you guys are still doing well. Is there a lot of finger pointing after a 1-4 week?
I mean, there's a lot of idiots that think the world's flat too. You don't take them all that seriously.
I'm talking amongst your group.
Oh no,
you gave the wrong pick. That was a stupid pick.
Not at all. You know what? I mean, and this is just genuinely the truth. Our partner last year, and he still partners with us this year. He's just not able to be on the pod because he started a business. He's so busy. Matty Holtz, his name, former bookmaker. He thinks about these games differently than Fez and I, and he was helpful generally. But last year, we all had our one best bet, and pretty much every one of those, there were five exceptions the whole year, we would put into the contest. And the only exceptions was big line moves or whatever, right? Matty Holtz is sharp as anyone. He might not be quite as sharp as me, but he's almost as sharp. No, he's right there, right? I mean, he booked like billions of dollars a bet. Billions. And last year, and I'm just going by memory, I think he was like 6-11 on his best bets.
Oh.
And literally, and Brad, you were in a lot of those pods, we might have teased him three times for like 15 seconds, and it was obviously a tease. Because if you're so dumb that you think any short period of time, and dumb, that might be strong here, if you're so uninformed, so ignorant, that any short period of time is telling, just flip a coin for a while and see, oh, look, four heads and one tail. You know, what does that mean? Nothing. The question is, if you're 55% versus 50 over hundreds of games, that makes a monster difference. Now, the paradox is, how do you figure out who can win if it takes hundreds of games? Because after hundreds of games, everything's different.
Yeah.
Because the league's different. The NFL changes like at the speed of light these days. And also the people are different. Is he married? Is he got a kid now? Is he putting less time in? Is he getting a little bit older? Is he drinking more? Whatever it is that might affect, or is he doing the opposite? He's healthy now. He's lost weight, so he's better. Everything's changing. You never can be sure about who's going to win. So what you have to default to is how good is their content. A guy like Brad can have a winning year, and he will most of the time. He might have a losing year now and again. He will now and again. But his content's always going to be excellent. And thus, you know he knows what he's talking about. And it's those guys that have the best chance of winning.
Agreed. All right, let's get into some games this week. And do we want to do our best bets as usual, just without Fezzik?
You know something? I know what Fezzik's best bet was yesterday, so we'll force it in today.
Well, he gets first crack at it because Brad has passed him by. He's no Brad Fezzik's officially last place in our contest now.
Now, are you guys listening to the podcast at all?
No.
Okay, so there's a new person on it. He's called Fake Fezzik.
Okay.
And Brad, how would you characterize Fake Fezzik?
Well, I've heard Fake Fezzik on a Straight Out of Vegas episode.
All right. How would you describe him?
I would describe him as sort of an overly analytical, not much of a personality, and he seems like he doesn't care what anyone else has to say about it.
That's a good take.
And sometimes he doesn't care to explain his logic behind a pick because it is just what he says it is.
Yeah, but it's also because he thinks everyone's dumb.
Yes, and he'll avoid if there's data that doesn't support what he likes. It's a waste of time.
Well, luckily, Fake Fezzik's here to give Fezzik's pick.
Thank goodness.
Hello, Houston. He's got a nasally voice, by the way. my best bet is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, usually, Fezzik. Usually I don't bet against the genius. He's a genius like me. But in this case, I got to. Why? Because I think I'm more of a genius. And here's the rationale. Strength of schedule. Strength of schedule is something a lot of the average handicappers, maybe you, I'm not saying you, but maybe you, a lot of them ignore it. I don't. Strength of schedule, much, much better for the Ravens. Also, if you look at the offensive coordinator, Roman's his name, from the Ravens, you probably haven't done this, but look back in time and see the last time Roman went against Belichick. Not good for Belichick. Good for fake Fezzik. And Fezzik, my overlord. Best bet, Ravens.
Well, fake Fezzik, that would have been my, that's my favorite side of the week. So I agree with you.
He's gone.
But for I've got a little bit different reasons. But strength of schedule is part of it. But I also think that the...
It doesn't really matter, though, right? Because you won't have the pick.
Oh, that's true. Well, never mind.
So now you're really... do you feel discombobulated?
No, I feel fine. I've got a couple... there's a couple guys behind me in the standing, so I've got a moment to come up with a secondary pick.
Hey, Fred, what'd you think of fake Fezzik?
Liked it. Like
if I
it should
if
be
I,
a regular guest.
Does fake Fezzik ever interact with real Fezzik?
A couple times, and they hate each other.
I think that's when it would just be golden to hear, especially if they're on different sides. So if you ever catch Fezzik being wishy-washy, you need to bring back, you know, Fezzik from the past, fake Fezzik from 10 minutes ago, and be like, well, 10 minutes ago you said, and I think if you get those
that's
two
actually,
arguing, you've got a
you
real
know what's
bit
funny?
There.
That's actually where I got the idea from, was sometimes he'll talk about his power rankings, whereas he goes, I think I got them too high. And I'm like, they're your rankings, so yeah. Why are they too high? And it's like, well, and then we started saying there's Fezzik 1, Fezzik 2, and then it ended up being fake Fezzik. But what's fascinating is, and this is the truth, and I'll say it quick, the first time he ever heard him, because I just came up with it in the moment, and when he missed a podcast, and... let's just say it was love-hate. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people loved it. And since I don't care, I just kept doing it. But the fact of the matter, true or false,
true.
Fact of the matter is, when Fezzik saw him, he's looking and he's listening to me and he's got his scrunched up face. And then finally, there was this moment of recognition. It was almost like in 2001 where the monkey figured out he could use the bone as a club. And he went and kind of nodded. He's like, okay, I get it. And he wasn't happy, but he couldn't really complain.
I think you need to get a puppet made. And
I'm not talented enough. I do got one last question.
Okay.
Fred, if I was an unknown and I did and I sent that air check to you and I said, this is the kind of stuff I want to do. Be honest now, because when it's me, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be all right. You know, you give me the benefit of the doubt. What would you have thought?
Well, that's hard because, you know, it is you. And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I know it's probably people probably love it. And I've already got people telling me you should have played the song with it.
As a programmer, I would throw that in the trash. I'd say I'm not calling this guy back.
And again, you're paying by numbers, AJ. That's why I asked Fred, who I consider sort of a radio visionary.
I got it. All right, Brad, you are up next. What's your favorite side this week?
You know, I'm going to BYU plus 3.5. And here's what I like about the spot here. It's all about it because BYU's a team. Listen to their schedule so far this season. Utah, Tennessee, USC, Washington, cross the country at Toledo, cross the country again at South Florida, and then Boise State. Really tough schedule for a team like BYU so far this season. But now they're off a bye, finally got to have like a sigh of relief, sort of say. They got to figure out the quarterback spot. They got two guys to choose from. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they're playing with the third-string guy when they actually outright upset an unbeaten Boise State team. Also, like, just looking at the line here, I got Big Brother BYU against Utah State. Big Brother BYU's only been an underdog one other time in the last 33 meetings against Utah State. They won that game, BYU, by 17 outright. Catching more than a field goal with Big Brother here, I think they're feeling disrespected. Give me BYU plus 3.5.
I like that handicap. All right, BYU plus 3.5 for Brad. Mr. Fowler, F-A-O-U-R.
Well, I had three games I was looking at, but I think the game I like best is the Vikings getting 2.5 at Kansas City, and I think this is just a matchup thing. and that the Chiefs have really struggled against the run, and the Vikings have a fantastic running back in Dalvin Cook. I think he's going to feast. I don't care if Mahomes plays or not. I think this Vikings team has figured it out. Kirk Cousins has figured it out since the first few weeks where he was terrible. They're not asking him to win games for him because Dalvin Cook wins games for him. I think the Vikings not only cover the 2.5, but win outright. Don't even need the 2.5.
What do you think of that, RJ?
You know something? What time does this game start?
That's a noon game start.
Noon Central, yeah.
Okay, 1 o'clock. Then I like it. And we did some research here. Mackenzie, a new researcher of ours, really did the work. And Jonas, who co-hosts the show with us, or he's more of an announcer, I guess, but he does a great job. He had the idea from an article we read a while back. The story with Cousins is, oh, the bright lights are the problem. The TV, the big game. Well, really, we looked at it. It was the 1 o'clock versus the other. He has covered about 66% against the spread in his career, Cousins, at 1 o'clock Eastern, and about 33% at the other times. And the telling part is, well, what happens when he plays really big games at one? They do well. And what happens when he plays really not big games at four? Right? Because it could be that it's correlated. The 1 o'clocks aren't the big games. But no, if you dig in, it's more about the start time than the opponent. And thus, at 1 o'clock, I'm thinking Vikings pretty much every week because I think they're underrated. Fezzik has them fourth right now, fourth behind only San Fran, New England, and New Orleans.
I don't hate it. I think the Vikings are kind of undervalued here, and I think they are a great running team. But I also think the bad start for Kirk Cousins had people, you know, kind of down on him. And now he's doing what he typically does, is he's putting up big numbers. And he's feeding those wide receivers, particularly Diggs. Ever since Diggs complained, he's had nothing to complain about since. So I actually like that pick as well. I do think it's a little bit of a risky play given the Mahomes situation, because Mahomes, I mean, that's like a 6.5, 7-point dude. That's a big difference, you know, if he does play or if he doesn't play. And that's why I guess most of the books don't even have a lineup on that game right now.
But just to be clear, when Fred says I don't care if he plays, he doesn't mean he doesn't think Mahomes matters, obviously. What he means is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, because this is an important concept, he thinks the market will price that properly, and it's not part of his handicap. So once it's known, whatever it is, he plays, he doesn't play, market prices it, and Fred still has his handicap left. So to me, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, I'll go next.
Fred or AJ?
No.
You'll go next because you're below me.
Yes.
Yeah, when you say, I'll go next, you know, it's not a choice.
Is that
you're
how
next.
I'll go next. Is that how I sound to you? What's happening here?
You know, it's just these headphones. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. I'm deciding between two. I'll go with I think I'm going to take the Jags plus 1.5 against the Texans. Fred and I kind of talked this out a little bit over the show. I think the London thing is the travel thing is probably built into whatever number is out there. But what I do believe is the Jags have receivers that the Texans are going to have a problem with, because the Texans are now officially just decimated in their secondary. Not only that, losing J.J. Watt, that's their havoc creator. I think that they're going to struggle to stop the pass. And if you're struggling to stop the pass, then the Jags can turn to Leonard Fournette. I think the Jags can have a balanced offense this week against this beat-up Texans team. I think that's problematic. And then the Jags get the sixth most pressure in the NFL. And we've talked this a lot about Deshaun Watson. When he's under pressure, he's not as good. And I think that the Jags get to Deshaun Watson. I'll take Jags plus 1.5 in London.
How's the O-line injuries for Houston?
They're exactly as they were a week ago.
Yeah, well, Tunsil's supposed to play, but right tackle is kind of iffy. So I think Johnson will be back, but he and Clark are...
What are you eating, pistachios, RJ?
Oh, I had a little hard candy, but I'll tell you. Okay. Boy, you just listen to every little word from me, don't you?
Professional broadcaster, that's all.
Is it you choking over that word like you're not sure to say it or not?
No, it's
I see your point there. I got a proposition.
Okay.
I have a college game. I'm going to go out of my expertise.
Oh, boy.
Just because I want to try to make this a closer competition.
I didn't know this was even allowed.
But what do you mean?
I don't know. I tried to go a total one time, and you're like, oh, we're not doing totals. We're doing...
Okay, and that's the thing, though. I'm saying I thought you'd want me... I mean, geez, how many years do you have to see my dominance of the NFL? I mean, I didn't even know that was a question. So I thought, oh... RJ's trying to increase the level of difficulty, you'd appreciate it.
All right. What pick did Brad give you?
Brad, who was the champion on the Dream Preview last year in college football?
RJ Bell.
And who's leading this year?
RJ Bell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The fact that I haven't
even said that is the story.
You know what? And I don't know if you guys do it any differently, but I remember last year, the deal was you didn't have to come in with 5 likes every week on the college podcast, though.
Well, could I? I don't even know the teams.
Well, here you are claiming to be the best, and all you're doing is picking off guys. You're picking off other people's picks.
Listen, if you're getting picked off with 5 picks out of like 70 games, then that's sad, right? All right, guys. You know what's funny, AJ? Is that's been the way it's been for years. And Brad sits here and hasn't said that once because he knows it would make him seem so weak to say it. And every time you bring this up, it makes you look weak.
I'm very weak.
Now, here's my proposition, though. I'm going to need a little enticement to do this. So right now, the game I like the dog. And the line is like 3.5 all over the place. But there's unfortunately, and I could change it in the back end right now. The one we're using is the current has it 3 minus like 20. So it's effectively 3.5.
Is it Washington?
Yes.
I'll give you 3.5 because I bet Washington at 3.5.
Perfect. Washington it is. And for the audience out there, these little haggles is why I win.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
Really
I
mean, about,
it is. Well, it's
not
is.
A haggle. Brad, we always give you whatever
Brad,
you want.
Do you remember when I tried to take a minus 120 pick like 2 weeks ago, and it was like, oh, my, World War III was about to break out.
Yeah. And here's the thing, AJ. If you would have approached it and say, guys, I know this isn't legit, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to think you want it, right? That's all I did.
Okay.
Brad, what would I have done if they said no? I would have called him weak and moved on to the next pick. Exactly.
Yep.
All right. Here's the analysis. And you're right. This is an amalgam, I guess you'd call it, between Brad's handicap and Fezzik's handicap. They usually don't agree. And when they do, and both make sense to – when I say don't agree, I should say this. They usually approach college games very differently. Brad with deep knowledge, and Fez, quite frankly, reading the screens. He's got his network, and he's got his opinions. He adds them all up. In this case, Washington off a bye. And I'm a huge fan of this coach. I'm a huge fan. And I think sometimes when a team is underperforming, would you say Washington general?
Yes. Yep.
When you expect them to drop off a little bit, the great coaches don't let that happen. So I think Washington keeps playing hard, especially off a bye. And I think the bye in the history is
18-0 off a bye.
Straight up.
Season. Yep.
And against the spread?
11-7.
Yeah. So we got some history there. I like that. Also, though, if you look on the other side, and Fez had a good – usually he's talking situations. It's like, ah, oh, come on. It's like, you know, the wind was blowing. This was good. Utah had, of the last 4 games, 3 at home, obviously altitude advantage. And then the one road game, they had a bye before it. So they haven't had a unfavorable spot, Utah, in a long, long time. Here is unfavorable against a team with a bye. And Utah's been getting some national press anyway. So just the general Freddie Fanny Pack or Barney at the bar, as we like to now say, the new guy. And the difference is Freddie's happy-go-lucky. Barney's mean and mad. But they both are square, right? To me, Washington's a little bit out of favor. Utah, the flavor of the month, a little extra value. And finally, the market's pretty much 3. I'm getting 3.5.
Well, there you go.
Now you are, yeah.
Yeah, now you are. I'm also on Washington this week. My biggest concern, though, when I made this play is Utah is solid defensively, and if you look at the two highest rated defenses that Washington has played this year, it's Oregon and Cal, both losses, and both at home. So that worries me some. But you're right.
Coin flip games, though. Red zone issues against Cal. And then the Oregon game was a game that they were up 2 touchdowns. So, yeah, I hear you, AJ. But, again, I think that's what's given us value, that they lost a couple coin flips. What is this line if they make a field goal against Cal and they don't blow the 2-touchdown lead in the second half against Oregon? I mean, this game might be pick, or Washington might be a slight favorite.
They probably would be, but I think what my concern with it is what I've seen out of Jacob Eason when he's pressured, it's not good. And that it's kind of the same thing that worries me about Jacob Eason as a pro quarterback, is when he's under pressure, he tends to make poor decisions. And in both those games, there was examples of that. And I think Utah's the kind of defense that can give him trouble. But I do think the spot is so good. I mean, Utah has been, like RJ said, living at home since the USC game. The one time they went on the road was to Oregon State to play just a hapless team, and they haven't had any competition in 3 weeks. I do think Washington is gonna give them some, but that is my concern on it.
Yeah, and here's why I love RJ's talking about Fez's handicap as far as the spot even more. The last time Utah was in a bad spot was on that short week on the road against SC. Oh, yeah, by the way, they lost that game. It's their only loss of the season.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's one of those – I just love – we bet it, or I bet it, Washington got the 3.5 when the market was, 50-50. And remember, this is a great lesson for those that bet. If you get the best of the number – you pretty much take the VIG out the window. If the market's 4, you get a 4.5. Yeah, it's not worth 10 cents. It's almost worth 10 cents. And once you do that, now you got to hit 50.1% off of the other line, the market line. If you can do that, you win. Line shopping is the cheapest way, the lowest effort way to improve your results.
RJ, I wanted to talk to you about one more game because you follow this team closely. I want to talk to you about the Pittsburgh Steelers game. I tend to think, and I always feel like you're kind of got the pulse on when they're going to show up, when they aren't. I think Pittsburgh's a little bit undervalued right now, and because of their record. So people look at their record and they go, Pittsburgh's pretty lame. Their three losses, three of their four losses. The Patriots loss was obviously a drubbing, but I look at the rest of their losses, and those are all close games against quality teams. So Seattle, San Francisco, Baltimore, they lose those three games by a combined 9 points. I don't feel like they're a bad team. I feel like they're actually even an above-average team. So I feel like maybe I'm getting – and the Colts, their defense is just a mess right now. We saw that last week. I think the Colts are kind of a bad team with a good coach. What do you think about the Steelers this week catching a point?
When you say the Colts are a mess, are you talking about injuries?
Injuries on the defensive side. When I say they're a bad team, the Colts have a good offensive line, which I think keeps them in games. But when you look at those games, even Baltimore, they couldn't really run on the Steelers. The Steelers have been stopping the run. And if you can stop the Colts from running and make Jacoby Brissett beat you, I feel like you got a pretty good shot.
You know what's funny is sometimes it's almost like in the political spectrum, like we think about things left and right, but then when it swings back around, extremism comes from both sides, right? So like in theory, the Nazis were a socialist party, which is supposed to be left, right? So to me, I think sometimes there can be the sharp side, the square side, and then it keeps going and the square side is the sharp side. It's just you're paying a little bit more because there is the public on it. I actually like the Colts here. In fact, me and Brad have a green button bet on this game.
Yeah, we do.
And my handicap is simple. I know the Steelers. I do. And I do know them motivationally. And I feel like we saw it. And I had Miami clearly on Monday night. That was our one winner in the bad week. But to me, I thought, okay, Pittsburgh's going to start feeling like the Pittsburgh of old. These are the games they're going to get down early. I mean, come on. It was absurd, 14-0. I think they're a little flat here, and I get it. Why should they be? They're a home dog. Well, they were a home dog against Baltimore. They'd be a home dog against probably 10 teams, 12 teams. So it's like kind of the new normal for them, and I just don't think this team can keep the focus for as long as it's going to take. And you might say, well, off Monday night, they should have some focus. Yeah, see, Pittsburgh, usually if you get arrested and spend 3 days in jail for drinking, you at least take a couple weeks off. The Steelers don't do that. They'll say, yeah, that's why we're the Steelers. We can get arrested and we're still going to drink. It's like I've never seen a team ever that's in a spot you'd think they'd be motivated, that it has to get one more level extreme for them to be motivated. I don't love it, but I love betting against Brad in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
So now I know we got to run, but this would take 30 or 45 seconds. This was one of my greatest moments. So he had a total that I kind of liked the other side of, but I didn't want to go against him if he really, really liked it. So our green button bets, which are automatic bets, you just press the green button, are $300 in the NFL, right? So I didn't want to bet all 300 unless I knew that Brad didn't really like the game. So I said, hey, Brad, let me do you a favor. I have a proposition. And I said, I'm thinking about pressing the green button, but if you want $100, I'll give it to you. And if you don't, or I said, this is the way I said it. I said, if you want to just bet 100, I'll accept that. And if you want to bet 300, we'll do that. He goes, you know, I think I'll just 100, right? Oh, and then what I did was I said, uh-oh, green button. So the way, and I didn't phrase that exactly right because it sounds like I reneged on what I said. But what was it?
I said no bet.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said, hey, I got a little hankering on this game. Yeah. I said, you got a choice, Brad, is I'll just go with 100 if you wanted, or no bet, your decision. Yeah. And I'm thinking at that point, if Brad liked the game, he would say, well, he can't make me force me to bet him, so he'd take the 100. If he doesn't like the game, he'd say no bet. But I didn't say I wouldn't bet 300, did I?
No, you didn't.
So right when he said no, so I got 300.
He had
now,
you on
how
the ropes,
sharp
Brad.
Is that?
He had you on the ropes.
No, what's it? Sweep the leg, right?
Yeah, yep. Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
RJ, I know you probably got to go. I was going to ask Brad about one more game that I know he's close to, and a game that I bet also, that Bowling Green Akron game. Brad, why is that number not moving? Why is it only staying at 6? Why is it 6 to begin with, and why is there no money pushing Bowling Green up?
Cato Nelson, the Akron quarterback who's missed the last couple of weeks, he's going to return for the Zips, so... You know, that Akron offense that's only scored a combined 3 points in 3 total games, the expectation is they'll be a little bit better on that side of the ball. But with that even being factored into here, I do lean on my alma mater, Bowling Green.
Okay, good. I feel like I'm a sucker here, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Check in with you.
I'm a little worried. Akron's the only team out of 130 teams in the FBS that hasn't covered a game yet this year. And why is that line not going through 7? That would worry me.
It's
a little bit
scary. All right, guys. Appreciate the time. The pregame guys, pregame.com, at BradPower7, at RJ in Vegas. Check them out. Check out Straight Out of Vegas. Check out the podcast. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I got to tell you guys about my friends at CBDMD.com. And I've been an advocate of CBD for some time. I love the stuff. Don't know that I could actually. I don't know if I could train physically without it because it just changed the game for me. My recovery is just so much better because of CBD and CBDMD. It's high quality stuff, third party lab tested, and it is quality, safe, clean. It's everything you're looking for. They've got a product called CBD Freeze, which is a menthol sort of blend. And man, it gives cooling sensation right where you're hurting the most. And guys, it's not just for people who are working out. It's for everyday stress relief, or if you're having a hard time sleeping. I mean, it's a wonder drug. Look it up online. Check CBDMD's prices against the other guys. They do it right there on their website. They show you their price, they show you the other guy's price, and you're going to save money. And you'll save even more. 20% off when you order at CBDMD.com using the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975.
Hey, guys, you shave, right? Everybody shaves, unless you've got, like, a Dallas Keuchel beard. Well, if you shave, you need to try Harry's, because humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, and they've used everything, like a Bowie knife. Well, now we don't need that because we have Harry's, and Harry's is the best. They don't add gimmicky features to their razors. They focus on the qualities that actually matter for a close, comfortable shave, and they never upcharge you. And right now, you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just use code FAOUR at harrys.com, and if you don't like your shave, they're going to give you your money back. That's an amazing offer. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code FAOUR at harrys.com. That means you can get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code FAOUR at harrys.com. You want convenience? Delivered right there to your door. You want quality? That's Harry's. You want affordability? $2 per blade. Go to harrys.com today. Use code FAOUR at checkout to claim your offer.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Last few minutes of the week for us. But we got great fill-ins coming in. So.
Yep, it'll be a good time. I was just reading during the break about Trent Williams.
Yeah, that's a bizarre story. If you guys haven't seen it yet. Apparently,
no wonder Trent Williams was so mad that he was like, no, it's not about money.
Yeah.
Trent Williams had cancer. He had soft tissue cancer attached to his skull and alleged that the Redskins failed to test it for nearly 6 years. The doctors became aware of the growth on his skull, team doctors did, and said he was initially told the issue was minor and continued to play for several seasons with a soft tissue sarcoma that develops in the deep layers of skin. He said, I had a tumor removed from my skull, attached to my skull. It got pretty serious for a second. I was told some scary things from the doctor. It was definitely nothing to play with. It was one of those things that changes your outlook on life. He first heard about the issue 5.5 years ago when Mike Shanahan was the coach. What? I mean, this is a bad look for the Redskins. A really bad look.
Yeah, and he goes into great detail about he thought he was going to die. And, yeah, it's bad. Might explain some of the off-and-on health issues because he didn't know he had it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, boy. When asked if he ever expects to play for Washington again, he said, we'll see how this helmet thing turns out. But like I said, I'm here. So he ended his holdout. But he's still having discomfort when he wears a helmet. So he didn't pass his physical after he reported, so he's not there yet. And he says he's going to have to get routine checkups every 6 months. This is that's a wild story. And that's, like I said, it doesn't get much worse if you're the Redskins. I mean, that's a really bad look. And that's a trash organization that...
It's got to be a lawsuit,
yeah.
Frankly.
Yikes.
So... Wow. You would think something like that, especially the doctors that they have for these teams, you'd think they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Apparently the Texans don't know anything about hamstrings. I guess it makes sense that you know this would happen.
Does Will Fuller have hamstring cancer? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, but he's not making it across the pond. We know that.
No.
I don't know why they call it the pond. I mean, it's kind of big.
No, we're not doing that today. Yeah, Rafael Esparza couldn't join us today from my bookie. He's doing a Breeders' Cup seminar.
Ah.
Thought you'd be interested in that, Fred.
Wonder why he didn't ask me to do that.
I don't know.
I am pretty good at that. But, yeah, and actually I have some plays. I didn't spend as nearly enough time on it because we've been so busy with work and with Astros and everything else. But I did go back and look at the races again today. And yeah, I got all the races, I probably like three of them a lot. They're worth playing. But for the other races, I just gave you a here if you want something to play this. But I'm not real confident in any of those other races. But it's on Sports Map. Go check it out. Please don't DM me on Twitter about, hey, who do you like? Because I guarantee you somebody will do that. But it's all on Sports Map. And I'm hoping to be out of pocket when the races go off.
There you go.
So, well, before we go, just tell everybody have a great weekend. And we're going to enjoy London and see you back here on Tuesday, but tune in tomorrow and Monday. Great fill-ins.
Yeah, we're going to we'll try to make the most of it out there, guys.
Yeah.
We'll be thinking of you. We'll be with you.
I'm sure I'll be tweeting photos.
Yeah.
I hate you guys. I hate you guys so very, very much.
Why do you hate us?
Oh, I don't know. I'm stuck here.
Well, yeah. You're going to be on vacation on Monday. How are you going to go anyway?
I made that decision after I found out I was the one who had to stay back.
Likely story. Likely story. Well, you'd be useless to us now. We're not even doing shows over there. What do you want to do? Just go hang out?
That wasn't the plan. The plan was to do shows over there.
Yeah. Now he's just looking to just go hang out.
Yeah.
We can't have you doing that.
We'll have a beer for you.
All right, guys. Like I said, Mike Meltzer and Craig Koshkin in tomorrow for the show. Got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy, shopping for electricity rates. It can be tough sometimes. You know who's trying to make it easy for you? My boys, Tri-Eagle Energy. Born and raised in Texas company, they provide simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees, an easy, fast sign-up process, no gimmicks, no surprises, gotchas on your bill. You'll even receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. Lock your rate in for 12, 24, or 36 months, and the rates you see, that's the rate you pay, man. They're also offering a discount for our listeners off their already great rates, so you'll save even more money using the promo code ESPN when you sign up. What are you waiting for, guys? Get in there. It's an easy decision. You're going to feel good about it. Tri-Eagle is going to treat you right. Give them a call today, 877-93-EAGLE, or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.